Yes.
Okay. This is agenda A02-12 of the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, present Carson City.
Rebecca Wagner.
Dave Noble.
And Elena Burton from Las Vegas. Item 1A is time for comments from the general public. The commission welcomes comments from all persons. However, please recognize the commission receives evidence through a formal process. The hearings or investigations for all matters that will be discussed at this agenda have already been conducted, and draft orders or memoranda have been prepared on the basis of the record created at the hearing or on the final results of staff investigations. The commission appreciates any feedback from the public. The comments made today cannot be treated as formal evidence. Members of the public desiring to comment, please state your name on the record. Comments shall only address topics that are relevant to or within the authority of the commission. Speakers shall not repeat prior comments made during this agenda. Comments shall be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. A speaker's allotted 5 minutes shall not be transferred to another speaker. And when the allotted 5 minutes has ended, the individual must stop speaking immediately. Are there any members of the public that wish to make a statement in Carson City? No one's coming forward. Anyone in Las Vegas? No one's coming forward. So, item 2A and 2B are both mine, and they really have to do with getting prepared to some of the votes we'll have to make at the Western Conference. President Ackerman has had a conversation with several of the commissioners about the possibility of incorporating. I guess our region is the only region that's not incorporated. Everybody else is incorporated, so I think there's some liability issues she's trying to maybe protect the commissioners from. To that end, she's put together some articles of incorporation and some bylaws that she shipped around to all of us. I shipped the bylaws and incorporation stuff to our general counsel's office. They, Mr. Pinion provided some redline versions to Commissioner Ackerman. She actually said that was probably the most helpful stuff she'd received from anybody in the Western Conference. So thank you, Mr. Pinion. And so she made some of the changes. But one of the results of trying to put this on the agenda is so that when we go to Sun River, Oregon, we can vote based on what we decided here. And basically, what you have in front of you is the Articles of Incorporation and the bylaws, as well as the resolution we will be taking a look at to adopt the incorporation of the bylaws at the meeting in Oregon. So if I was just checking to see if you had any questions or concerns. The other thing is that out there is that we would have to vote on is to approve or reject the election of Van Hall, who's the New Mexico Public Utilities Commission, for president of the 2012-2013 year, and the election of the nominee, Jeffrey Goltz, who's for the Washington Utilities Transportation Commission, for vice president for the 2012-2013 year. And the way this typically works is that the president is the person who's going to be of the state for the annual conference is held, and then the next person is, every time you're kind of in this queue based on when your conference is going to be held in your state. And so essentially Ben Hall would have, or the next conference next June would be in New Mexico, the conference after that would be in Washington, and then I have an item shortly after on item 2B that I'll kind of follow up to discuss that in a bit. But are there any questions or comments?
No questions.
I just, with regards to Article 4, there's two alternatives. I was wondering what the practical effect, practical difference is between the two. The differences appear, it looks like, in sections 4.4 and 4.5, but I just didn't really know from a practical standpoint what the difference is.
I had actually thought they had selected the first option and that they were to go with alternative one. That was at least my understanding of it, so I didn't look too much at two, what the differences were. My changes were mostly focused on option one.
It does say recommend all exceptions. Yeah, I think I'm not exactly, it may have been something from some stuff they got from some other folks concerned about it. I think that the alternative one is recommended by the executive committee. Do you have a preference, Mr. Commissioner Noble?
I don't. I'm just really trying to figure out the difference between the two. I mean, there's additional language and or different language between the two, but from a practical standpoint, I just didn't see any difference. But if the executive committee is recommending alternative one, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
You know, I do think I remember a little bit about this. I believe that there was an issue between, in some places there was a difference as to whether a quorum required a, or whether decisions could be made by a majority of the member states present or a majority of the directors of all the member states. I think they clarified that in the first version. I'm not sure if they, I know that in the second version they tried to address that as well, but I think that I think the first version, what they came to was basically that the vote is by a majority of the member states present, and I think the second version primarily goes with majority of the directors from all the member states. So I'm not sure if that was the distinction that they were getting at there.
So you might have some difficulty getting a quorum if not everybody from the member states is there, directors wise. And the first option would allow whoever's actually present to vote.
Right, right.
All right. That makes sense.
So I will go ahead and see if I can put together a motion here. Before I do that, would we want to vote on just the first alternative, approving the first alternative?
That probably makes sense, because if that's what was based on Mr. Pinney's representation, and it seems more logical to me, probably vote on that.
Okay, sounds good. And okay, so I move that we approve the incorporation and adoption of the proposed bylaws as set forth in alternative number one and recommended by the executive committee. Approve the election of nominee Commissioner Ben Hall of the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission for president for the 2012-2013 year, and approve the election of nominee Jeffrey Gultz of the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission for vice president for the 2012-2013 year.
Second.
Concur.
Item 2B is also mine, and this kind of follows on from the election of Commissioner Hall and Commissioner Gultz. The Nevada right now is slated to be the host for the annual conference in 2016, I think. But apparently they haven't been able to really get much participation or conversation with the Arizona folks, who are supposed to be the ones immediately after Washington. So they would be for the 2015 time frame. And because Arizona is really not apparently giving them much feedback on whether or not they're willing to be host the conference in 2015, and so they necessarily want to have them elected as secretary treasurer, because the people who the state who needs to be elected as the secretary treasurer needs to be the folks who are going to host the conference in 2015. Ms. Commissioner Ackerman of Oregon, who's the president of the Western Conference right now, has asked me if I would put something on the agenda for us to consider the possibility, until she can at least find out what Arizona is going to do, acting temporarily as the treasurer and secretary. And if in fact Arizona decides they don't want to act as the host, Nevada would end up acting as the host in 2015. But it might very well be a temporary measure until they hear back from Arizona. Apparently, Arizona commissioners are in the middle of trying to do something for elections, and apparently nobody wants to make a decision in Arizona about anything right now. And that's all I'll say about that. I guess the question before us really is, are we willing to go ahead and jump up in the queue by 1 year, at least temporarily, and once we hear back from Arizona, I might have to bring this back to the administrative agenda to kind of say, okay, now we'll vote not to be secretary treasurer back in 2016. Any questions or comments or?
No.
No, that makes sense to me.
Okay. Then I would move that we accept the request to temporarily serve as Secretary Treasurer for the Western Conference of Public Service Commissioners, and accept the and accept the request to host the 2015 annual conference of the Western Conference of Public Service Commissioners.
Second.
Concur.
Thank you. And I think we'll move to item 3A. Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Chairman. This item is on the agenda today for the Commission to discuss and determine an internal process to handle recruiting, interviewing, and hiring positions appointed by the Commission, which are the Utilities Hearings Officer, General Counsel, and the Executive Director. The Commission must first determine whether to pursue an internal recruitment or an internal external open competitive recruitment. An internal recruitment is just that. It's limited to current Commission employees, and a job announcement would be sent only to Commission employees via an email. The internal recruitment provides professional development opportunities to employees to achieve their fullest potential, and it also is an incentive for retaining talented, high-performing employees. The internal external open competitive recruitment is open to all interested candidates to include current Commission employees. The job announcement would be sent via email to all Commission employees as well as posted on State Personnel's website, the Commission's website, social media sites, for example, Facebook, and other locations in an effort to attract qualified candidates. An internal-external open competitive recruitment would produce a larger pool of candidates to choose from, and given today's job market, it may attract candidates who would not have otherwise applied. Additionally, an internal-external candidate would not have pre-existing case conflicts as an internal candidate might have. The Commission must also decide if the recruitment should be location-specific. So, for example, only recruit for Carson City, only recruit for Las Vegas, or if the Commission would prefer to recruit for the best candidate regardless of location. An option is to consider the recruitment options and location on a case-by-case basis. The Commission could direct the Executive Director on an as-needed basis to bring recruitment and location options for positions appointed by the Commission to an administrative agenda meeting for Commission discussion and vote. Before I move on, is the Commission interested in discussing how you'd like to pursue the recruiting and location efforts?
Well, I'll jump in. I think given that the Hearing Officer, General Counsel, and Executive Director are three very, very different positions, I think we almost have to do things on a case-by-case basis. Because I know, you know, I don't think anybody in the world would want your job. So it might be hard to recruit. So, and that's, you know, different certainly with all of the positions. So I think on a case-by-case basis, as needed, bring it forward to us with recommendations makes sense to me.
Commissioner Noble?
Yeah, I think having the most flexibility probably there is best. And I don't know if we want to talk about whether it should be open interviews with three commissioners. Are we just doing internal versus internal external and then location specific at this point?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then we'll move on to the next phase.
All right. I think it would have to be... I think it would be best to know what the Commission's situation is, to know whether or not one or the other is a necessary criteria for that position at that time for the Commission. So.
Okay. I agree. I think we're basically talking about three positions that we don't, hopefully, and we haven't historically had a lot of turnover in, so I don't suspect that we're going to have a large administrative burden by kind of keeping it position specific. So when we have an open position, I think we would have an administrative agenda and have a discussion at that time, because I think it might change. I kind of hate to make a decision that puts our feet in concrete when we'd like to be able to change it. So I agree with Commissioner Wagner and Commissioner Moore.
Okay. So I think it's the consensus that the executive director would bring forth to an administrative agenda the options with respect to recruiting internally or internal, external, open, competitive, as well as the location. Okay?
Well, so, do we need to vote on that?
You can vote on that now if you want, or we can take one vote at the end of A. We still have more to cover under this item. So if you want to vote on that portion of it,
it's agendized, I think we have to.
Let's go ahead and vote on it. Yeah. Then I won't lose track.
Well, there's more under A still. This is just a portion of the process.
Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Moving on to B.
So we want to keep going?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll make a list.
Okay. Next, we need to talk about the actual interview and recommendation process. An option would be for the commission to appoint an interview and selection team. The interview and selection team members could be responsible for reviewing and screening the applications to determine who would be interviewed, assist with developing interview questions, participate in the interviews, and discuss the results of the interview with team members, and select either a finalist or finalists for consideration and appointment by the commission. The procedure could include the commission appointing an interview and selection team during an administrative agenda meeting for positions appointed by the commission. Again, if you do decide to have an interview and selection team, those team members may change based on what position is vacant. So if we could first talk about whether or not you'd like to entertain the idea of an interview and selection team. If you do, we need to talk about, how you want to go about that. And again, this is just process. I'm looking more for generic process that we can apply long term. And then once we get to the next item, we'll talk about a specific vacancy that we currently have.
Okay. Given the open meeting law stuff, Crystal, in my mind, the other alternative that I've talked to General Counsel's office about is we'd have to actually do this in an open meeting, correct? The three of us interviewing people?
That's correct.
Or else we'd have to subject them to three separate interviews with each of the commissioners separately?
And that would be General Counsel's call if they think that complies with the open meeting law.
Okay. And so the ones that we're talking about today really is the interview and kind of selection committee. Correct.
And depending on how that's structured, that's something that could be handled not during the course of an open meeting.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Well, I'll weigh in. I think this is one of the areas where the open meeting law is once again flawed. I think subjecting someone to a public meeting for a job interview, I don't even know that I'd want to even do that. So I think it could ultimately eliminate and potentially scare off candidates. I like the idea of the interview and selection team. I've been on different selection teams before I was a commissioner. And it was an interesting process, and with the leadership of people who actually know what they're doing in HR, Ms. Gaw, I thought it was an effective way to handle it. So I'm more comfortable with an interview and selection team rather than having to do it in an open meeting.
Yeah, I agree. I really would want to avoid having an open meeting and doing interviews with all three commissioners of any of the applicants. I would think that as long as the commission is comfortable with whoever is on the interview and selection team, I think that's actually a good thing, and it actually adds almost a fourth voice to the discussion. And I'd much rather do that have the interview and selection team do that outside of the open meeting law, and so it's not open to the public. And then I think that we'll actually get probably more and possibly better applicants in the process.
Well, I can tell you that if I had to sit before three commissioners, 20 years ago, I would never apply for the job.
So,
I would have had an entirely different career than I have now. No, I agree. I think it needs to be a selection committee, and I don't know how we go about identifying who needs to be on the committee. Obviously, if commission wants to sit in, that's gonna make sure the other two can't sit in, so we don't have an open meeting law violation. But I agree. I think the selection committee is the best way to go.
Okay, and so does the commission, and not under this item, but does the commission want to appoint that selection team? So on a case-by-case basis, I would bring it to an administrative agenda, and you can appoint that selection and interview team?
I'll weigh in on that. I think that would be the best way, because depending on what position is open may impact who the commission wants to be as part of the interview and selection mm-hmm. team, because depending on the position, there might be certain people with expertise that have either previously done that or are familiar with that can ask those pointed questions and provide more insight and through the selection process that would be valuable for the commission. That's my two cents there.
I agree.
Me too.
Okay, and then with respect to the team bringing forth a final candidate for consideration by the commission, would the direction to the team be one finalist or more than one or more than two?
Or can
or
we do
again
it
on a case-by-case basis?
On case-by-case based on the
okay.
whoever it is. I mean, I'd lean towards case by case to give us the most flexibility.
I would agree with that.
I guess I do too. If you bring it forward to us, though, and you've got two candidates, but how do you envision the discussion going at the agenda before we make the decision?
You know, I think that we would just present both candidates. And inform the commission as to, you know, the qualifications and why they are the top two, and then it would be up to the commission at that time to make the selection. And so, you know, the downside with bringing forth two is you have a winner and mm-hmm. a loser, potentially.
Okay.
You know, the commission, if one candidate is brought forward as a finalist, the commission could always reject that recommendation. And I would defer to general counsel, but they could then possibly make a motion, I guess.
But then you're still getting winners and losers.
You are.
So.
You are. Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is you wouldn't have to accept that.
Well, and maybe you do it on a case-by-case basis where you could have, well, I just started so that maybe the commission, depending on the position, like say they want to go, I'm just thinking out loud here. If you've got an internal interview, most everybody is familiar with those folks and knows their backgrounds. If you're doing an internal external, there's going to be a lot more unknown factors if the externals end up being the top choices. And so you could have everything from just your top choice to your top two, or you rank the top three. I would hope that you wouldn't have to go beyond two or three. So, but I think, again, it just depends on the situation that we're faced with. I'm just trying to think of all possibilities that could be out there in the future.
Well, I suspect you're right, Commissioner Noble. I think the more flexibility we put in the process down the road, I think that's probably the best way to go, too. Because every situation might be different.
Okay. What I'd like to do is write something up based on this discussion, and then I can bring it back to a future agenda for approval as to our internal kind of generic guidelines or process, if you will, for these positions. Would that be acceptable to the commission?
I guess.
Are we
since I have clear direction.
Are we still today going to talk about the hearing officer?
We are.
Okay.
We are.
I'm fine with that.
So,
okay.
Crystal, you would like to put off a vote on this item then?
If you want to vote on what you've agreed on for the process, that's fine. And then I can bring something back in writing for you all
okay.
to review and approve at a
okay.
subsequent agenda.
Okay. So that means I need to figure out a motion?
Yeah.
Well, case-by-case basis.
All right. Let's see. I move that we approve a process that... Wow. That
directs the executive director.
As the executive director bringing back to the commission for determination on whether or not recruitments for the general counsel position, the executive director position, or the hearing officer position would be internal, external, or location specific or not. And the creation of an interview and selection team with the commission appointing that team on a case-by-case basis.
And a number of
recommendations. And a number of recommendations on it, and the number of recommendations for that position on a case-by-case basis. Did I get it all?
So.
Is that?
Think so.
Okay, second.
Concur.
Okay, moving right along. The next item. The utilities hearing officer position is vacant as of June 1st. The utilities hearing officer is an unclassified position appointed by the commission pursuant to NRS 703.130. As a result, the commission must decide how to pursue filling the vacant position in accordance with the internal process we just discussed and the commission approved. So first, does the commission prefer an internal or internal-external open competitive recruitment?
I'll weigh in. I think that at this point it should be internal.
I agree.
Me too.
Okay, so we will pursue an internal recruitment. Secondly, location. Las Vegas only, Carson City only, or the best candidate regardless of location?
I'll say best candidate.
Do we still have an Elko location?
Springfield.
No, I'm just kidding. I would say best candidate.
Me too.
Okay. Does the commission wish to appoint an interview and selection team to handle the interviews and recommendations?
Yes.
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 And who would the commission like to appoint?
I'll go first. I'll just throw my thoughts out there. In this situation, I would recommend the current hearing officer, the executive director, and general counsel. And I'm recommending a three-person committee. I think one, the executive director is the administrative head of the agency. I think that's appropriate. We have an existing hearing officer who is on good terms with the commission, and so he's done a fine job. And I remember when she interviewed me for the administrative attorney position back in 97 and grilled me, so I think she'd be a very effective interviewer. Also, I think having Jen on there would also be very helpful, given that she is a former hearing officer and knows very well what that position entails. And so I think the three of those would be, I think, would be very good with regards to coming to a recommendation for the commission.
I think that's a good team. That's kind of what I was thinking. Nancy's really good at interviewing, so I think that's a great choice. Plus, she's most familiar with it at this point, so I'm good with that team. I think it makes sense.
I'm good to go, too.
Just in the event that Ms. Wenzel is either unavailable or unwilling, would you like to suggest an alternate for the hearing officer slot?
I'll suggest a DRO.
Okay.
Amory.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Chairman, is that? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, with that said, the direction to the interview and selection team, do you want one finalist or more than one finalist to be brought for your decision, consideration, and vote?
With it just being an internal, I think just one for me.
I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Wow. Okay. I think that covers that item.
Are you sure?
I think so. And I believe we need to vote. I believe that.
I move that we accept the process described here today. So are you saying we're net?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I move we accept the following process. It will be an internal recruitment. The best candidate, regardless of location, the committee will consist of either Ms. Wenzel or Ms. Cuneo. With Ms. Cuneo to be the alternate if Ms. Wenzel is unavailable. The executive director, Ms. Jackson, general counsel, Jan Cohen, and for the committee to bring us back one candidate at an agenda.
Second.
Concur.
Item 2C, or 3C.
3C. This item is the administrative fines report as of March the 30th. Companies are notified by the issuance of the order imposing the fine. The fiscal division also sends out past due letters at 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. Once a company is 60 days past due, they are turned over to the controller's office for further collection. And you may have noticed on the very last page of the spreadsheet, Global Capacity Group, it failed to show their $1,000 payment, and it failed to show that they were passed on to the controller's office. If you have the hunter's eye that picked that out, thank you, Mr. Noble. The fine was actually paid on April the 5th, and that was after the reporting period, but before the list was sent over to the controller's office.
Thank you.
With that said, we've imposed approximately $320,000 in administrative fines. Collections have been about $137,000, and we have about $183,000 outstanding. As a reminder, pursuant to statute, all fine money collected by the commission is deposited to the state general fund. Any questions regarding the administrative fine report?
I have none.
Just an observation, because I have to make it because it drives me crazy. It seems to me that we spend an awful lot of our time certificating people and then taking away the certificate, taking time finding them. And I don't know if this is even possible, but I'm just going to throw it out there as a possibility. Maybe I take a look at when we, if there's any way. We might require a statutory change. When these people come in for a certificate, if we can require them to post a $1,000 bond, that is forfeited if we have to issue a fine for them. I just throw that out there.
That would require a statutory change.
It would require a statutory change, I'm told.
That might be a worthwhile BDR, and maybe instead of $1,000 bond, a $5,000 bond.
Yeah. Right.
To me, it's just ridiculous the resources we expand for these companies that are in and out in a flash.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have to put a $1,000 bond, maybe we could sort of sift through some of these people that aren't really going to stick around. So, anyway, just a thought.
Okay. Hopefully, General Counsel noted that thought.
Yes, it is duly noted.
Okay, item 3D. This item is an update of our financial status for fiscal year 2012. In category 02, which is in-state travel, a non-IFC work program was submitted and approved by the budget office, which transferred $10,000 from category 26, which is information services, to augment in-state travel to help fund the projected category shortfall to fiscal year end. In category 05, which is equipment, a non-IFC work program was submitted and approved by the budget division, transferring $9,225 from category 86, which is reserves, to augment equipment. This was done in order to purchase some rail and gas pipeline safety program equipment, and these expenditures are recoverable through the rail assessment fees and or federal grant funds. Category 09, consultants. As you may recall from the last financial update, we had done a non-IFC work program to help fund a projected shortfall due to the anticipated merger plan filing by NV Energy. It is my understanding those plans have been postponed. In April of this year, Southwest Gas filed an unplanned rate case requiring the need of a depreciation consultant for regulatory operations staff. As a result, a contract with Hudson River was submitted and approved by the Board of Examiners on March 13th in the amount of $35,000. In Category 11, which is our ARRA grant, to date the Commission has drawn down $243,000, and actually that's this fiscal year, of the approved funding for this grant. A non-IFC work program was submitted and approved, which requested to augment Category 11 by $15,385 to help fund a projected category shortfall to fiscal year end. Additionally, with respect to Category 11, a work program to augment the legislatively approved budget for fiscal year 2013 has been submitted and will go before IFC on June 21st. We are requesting authority to fully expend the remaining grant funds of $182,465 next fiscal year. In Category 16, which is our vehicle operations, a non-IFC work program was submitted and approved by the Budget Division to transfer $8,623 from Category 04, which is operating, to augment vehicle operations to help fund the projected category shortfall to fiscal year end. And this was necessary as a result of rising gas prices, as well as having a full complement of staff. Category 30, which is training, a non-IFC work program was submitted and approved by the Budget Division to transfer $15,000 from Category 86, which is reserves, to augment training to help fund the projected category shortfall to fiscal year end. And just as a reminder, our optimal reserve range with the budget cuts is between 2.2 and 2.6 million. The Commission's projected reserve level at fiscal year end is 2.6 million. Any questions regarding the financial update for fiscal year 2012?
I have none.
No. Me either. Okay, just a few miscellaneous items. Regulatory operations staff has advised that NuSTAR, the North American Plan Administrator, will file a petition with the Commission within the next month, sometime around June the 7th, as a result of telephone number shortages at the 702 prefix level. The projected exhaustion date is the third quarter of 2014. Previously, it was estimated for the second quarter of 2015. So you'll be expecting to see the petition a little earlier than originally planned. Our Xerox lease for the Carson City office has expired, and that's for our Xeroxes both downstairs and upstairs. We are currently on a month-to-month lease agreement. As a result, we will be upgrading the machines to be consistent with the Xerox in the Las Vegas office, which is located across from policy. The downstairs copier will now have color copier copies, and we will no longer be replacing color printers. The downstairs copier will be a little slower than what we have now, but we will have the color copy and the scan capabilities to Las Vegas. The operating watts will reduce from 1,921 to 1,131. We will have approximately $220 in savings per month, obviously with greater savings over the long run. The first floor Xerox has already been delivered, and the second floor Xerox is scheduled to be delivered around June 15th. Another update, the Western Energy Coordinating Council is revamping the Western Renewable Generation Information System Committee. Anne Marie has served on this committee since its creation as the Western Governors Association representative. With the new makeup of the committee, the Western Governors Association spot is disappearing, and there are instead two state government positions. I nominated Anne Marie for one of the spots so that she can continue to have input for Nevada regarding the REC tracking. And fortunately, she was the only nomination, and so she will retain the title of Regis Committee member, but now she will be representing the states instead of the Western Governors Association. Lastly, we are in the process of developing and launching a new website with a design consistent with the official state of Nevada website. Several other state agencies have already followed suit. If you would like to view the format, you can visit www.nv.gov. Our main goal is to update our information and better organize the information in order to improve user friendliness. We hope to have the new website available sometime after next fiscal year. And that is all I have for today.
Any discussion on those items?
Nope.
I have none.
Yep. Is there anyone, and we're moving on to item four for public comment. Is there anyone in the Crescent City who wants to make a comment?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Anyone in Las Vegas? Nope. We're adjourned.
Thank you.